Hey, what is up, everybody? KP here with Sales Rep Radio. So pumped. I'm stoked to be here with you guys and finally get this kicked off and started. First episode ever. Who would have ever thought I would have done a podcast, right? So this podcast is for sales reps, whether it doesn't matter what industry you guys are in. We want to provide valuable content for sales reps, whether it's just in life or in the home or whether it's actual sales techniques or lead generation, right? Everybody's moving offline to online right now, or a lot of people are. So have some special guests aligned for you guys and really excited to get this thing moving. So I wanted to start off and welcome everybody. So thanks for joining. Click the like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. And starting off this podcast. So it's going to be raw. Really looking forward to looking back at this first podcast some years or time down the road and maybe having a laugh or two and looking back at the growth, not only within myself, but then in our community. So really appreciate you, and it starts with you guys. So we are a team for sure. And shout out to all the sales reps out there. You know, some of us are posting eating caviar and eating something else 6 days out of the week and eating caviar one day. And we post the caviar day. I'm just as guilty. So, showing people just kind of the nitty gritty, getting down and dirty on some of the stuff most people maybe look over or don't want to share and don't want to talk about. Going to get intimate in the life of a sales rep and plenty of content. So I don't think we'll ever run out of content, right? Wanted just to share a quick backstory and just a peek behind the curtain on my life and where I've come from and what my experiences were in the past, growing up. So you guys maybe get a chance, to be a little more intimate with me, and we can share some stuff here and be as transparent as possible. So starting off, as a kid, looking back, I was extremely busy. I was a really busy kid. Raised by a single mother, grew up in, Pasadena area, San Gabriel Valley, 210 freeway. And mom was always taking me from either drum practice to baseball practice, football, soccer, did basketball, did some musical theater, always was doing something. And she raised my great-grandparents, she helped with my great-grandparents growing up, helping take care of them. One of my great-grandmother, my Nana, she had a stroke and was paralyzed on the right side, so needed some help. And then my Tata was had some arthritis pretty heavily. And amazing story, though, and got to see that as at a young age. But I was so busy, constantly from one thing to another. Also throughout my teenage years, loved skateboarding, sports, and music. I'm a drummer, also known as a dumber, played music or started when I was five doing just kind of reading music and learning how to hold sticks. But I wasn't allowed, and this is kind of a cool lesson for me. Maybe my drum teacher knew something I didn't know. Shout out to Rick Meeks, big ups, man. And he basically put pads and wouldn't allow for me to play the drum set as a whole. I had to perfect the snare drum first before I got to play. And if my mom was late or got some time at the end of practice, he'd let me take the pads off and then throw on some music and start jamming from there. But had a good time, really good experience there. Music was a big passion of mine, and sports. Those were really the two things. Always been blessed to be a leader and was blessed in the athletic department and all that stuff. And always dreamed of, owning my own business and having a big family and a lot of kids. And, I think as a younger man, kind of searching for our identity, I was a skater, and then I was a little rebel, and then, you get into the sports and kind of the jock mode, and we go through these different phases. Some of you might not have gone through that. I definitely did. And I think looking back at it, it's kind of, all I really cared about was just being a good person. Whether people didn't understand that or, whether or not I showed that externally or not, usually a pretty upbeat happy guy. But I think I was carrying some primal wounds, being honest. You know, dad wasn't always around and kind of had a victim mindset. You know, when you're all alone, right? That's kind of what happens. But I got a chance to win. I think what kept me going was playing a lot of the sports. And not only was I able to play sports, but totally blessed to be on winning teams. And we won. We worked our butts off and got to see hard work pay off. You know, in Little League, we won, you know, our little championship for 3 years in a row, and some really good talent went on to play, you know, an all-star and went to like regionals or sectionals in the Little League World Series. Did some really cool stuff there. It was a small town, so everybody was, you know, we were all partying at the, you know, the team mom's pool party, and all the parents were having a good old time, right? Sipping a few and having a good time. But really good memories looking back at it. So if you guys are looking, we ever played ball together, we ever played sports, you could probably agree that our parents were badass, big time. So I'm really stoked and to maybe reconnect with some folks. I know on Facebook, it helps. But I think as my desires, I was in my teens and all throughout high school, just kind of searched to be a hero. Always wanted to be the guy everyone came to for help or wanted to feel like I was helping. Always have wanted to make money doing something that I love. You know, wasn't really crazy entrepreneurial when I was younger as far as trying to make money. And, you know, looking back a little deeper, probably was doing some things or maybe selling some things I shouldn't have been selling. And so probably was a little entrepreneurial, but you know, live and learn. And yeah, it's pretty intense looking back and knowing that, hey, I've been in a leader role and seen some big wins. We won a prep baseball national championship going into high school. And what was really cool about that, I think having that winning feeling when we're down and out, I always go back to that one feeling of where, you know, I had that big win, or what was the last time that we won in high school, went undefeated, technically not undefeated. We lost our last game in CIF, but we went undefeated. I was a quarterback on the football team, and my junior year, we went 4-7. So we worked our butts off. We did 3-a-days in high school and slept we got waivers to sleep at the locker room and slept overnight, watched Cujo and all these movies, and we ended up winning and going undefeated until the last game we got eliminated. But the team that beat us, they won CIF. So, hey, you don't feel as bad, but yeah, Lompoc jacked us up, guys. we got our butts smashed, but I had a good run before that. And, you know, winning league and going undefeated and beating all these teams was really quite enlightening. It was powerful. You know, looking back at that, just the teamwork, right? And I've always kind of looked forward to that and having a team. And as a sales rep and entrepreneur and doing things most people are afraid of or maybe run away from or don't think it is a real job, we go off the beaten path. It's a lonely place sometimes. So that happens, right? So those winning moments add up. The prep baseball national championship in high school was going into my senior year. I wanted to play baseball. I didn't want to play football in college. So I didn't do as well my senior year in baseball as I did in my senior year in football. So I got recruited more for football than I did baseball. But yeah, some big wins. Those are awesome. Always kind of tapped into those, you know, and kind of going through high school and playing a little bit of college ball. Played my first year. Our shortstop was Evan Longoria. So shout out Evan. Crazy inspirational story. That guy, always the first one to practice, last one to leave, and always hustling. He was a scrawny little guy back then. And we all were, I think. But yeah, him and I were looking to go into the draft at the end of the year, and then I ended up getting hurt. And the whole sob story happens. I was the ace pitcher in the rotation, and I think I went 6-2 for the year and did really well. Got tendonitis in my shoulder and done deal. Couldn't even pick up a baseball and throw it. literally like my entire world stopped. Didn't know what to do. My major was fire science. And that didn't happen. Just got stuck working, you know. So ended up doing that, working, did insurance at a young age, done a lot of construction, always hands-on since I was like 10 years old. Ruining kitchens, or also known as demo or demolition. Built a couple houses from the ground up and garages and additions, and did HVAC for a couple years. I've done some pretty neat stuff. Have accomplished quite a bit. I never really specialized in like one thing besides sports and then music. I played music throughout my 20s, a little bit in my 30s, and did some touring and did some really cool stuff there. It was really awesome, but that's a rough schedule with a family, you know. So we ended up getting through college and going through the 20s and met my wife up at a festival called the California Roots Festival in Monterey. It's a reggae festival up there. Used to play in a reggae band. Some other groups and fill in here and there for tours and stuff, but I met my wife up there, and yeah, everything else took off from that. We have a crazy story. We'll tell you guys at a different podcast, a little different episode, but we ended up having our first kid, right? Met for after nine months of meeting, and you know, she's pregnant, and you know, we're like, okay, I got to figure this thing out. I know I want kids, and she's beautiful, and you know, let's do this, right? Scary though. Right. And of course, we have no idea what we're doing. We got tricked into being induced, right, for failure to progress, and ended up having a C-section, the whole epidural and the whole nine yards, and which is fine as long as that's mama's choice. It's your partner's choice, wifey's choice. But we were clear in our situation with the medical staff, you know, hey, we don't even want the option. Don't give us the option. We do not want to do that. Right. It's just, it was the way that we had planned to just go completely natural. Anyways, that didn't happen. So, you know, we can go in depth a little bit more about that. But so we had the baby, had a tiny little apartment, right? This is like late 20s. Moved in maybe twice or three times in 3 years. Horrible. Not in a good spot. I was just working to support family the best that I possibly could, just by finding ways to work, right? Was doing some direct sales, some online stuff, was knocking doors. And of course, every opportunity that came knocking at my door seemed like the one-way ticket out of my negative bank account. It was like, oh, this is the one. How many of you guys have tried like 100 different jobs and just didn't really find the one? So shout out if you found the one, or at least the industry. And if not, there's plenty of stuff out there to sell, right? Just serve people. But I think trying to get out of that negative spot, I was just literally just desperate for a change. I just, whatever I need to do, saw plenty of people, you know, being successful with art as an artist or with their bands and with their businesses. And, you know, some people working half as hard and making way more money and, you know, sharing their experiences. And all they needed was an internet connection and a computer, right? Here I was struggling just to pay bills, trying to ruin my car, driving Lyft, Uber, knocking doors, trying to sell stuff, figuring out the online game, and build a connection with my wife and my kids, and it wasn't good. I was gone. I was worked late nights. I was gone working all day, and then maybe had a gig, you know, in San Diego. Had to leave early, and you don't leave and finish the gig. You know, you set up, have dinner or whatever, and you play. You're done playing 2:30 a.m. and you got to drive back to L.A. and be at work the next day, you know, to do the same thing over again and barely see your family and your kids. It wasn't good. You know, I was working 14, 18-hour days. A rough spot, just nonstop. You know, I was on tour. I was gone for days, weeks, sometimes months out of the year. I had to do something different. I had to do something different. With the wife and you know, moving along, ended up having our second kid. And it's like, what the heck? What am I doing? Right? Obviously, they needed me more now than ever. Right? And just remember being stuck. Remember being afraid and feeling alone. You know, my buddy's got kids, but maybe some people aren't trying to be, you know, go off the beaten path and start their own thing or start their own company or do sales, because everybody has this stigma attached to sales, that sales guys lie or that you have a product and we're buying stuff all day. But I just felt alone, right? And we play it off a lot of the time because we have to. You got to be optimistic. Can't sit here and focus on the problem. I'm so solution driven. So in the back of my mind, I'm constantly like, oh, think about the solution. Don't focus on the problem. You know, most people aren't going to have to do what you do, or I can't expect to do the same thing as others because I'm not going to get the same thing in return. I don't expect the same thing. So as far as the results or same pay, so I can't expect to do the same thing. Right? And it was totally my ego in the way. Totally. I was just worried about my dreams and being selfish. And I always grew up, you know, paycheck to paycheck and never owned property. Family was always renting and always, I just wanted to own a piece of land, be self-sufficient, right? I always had an inner battle no matter what excuses I made, you know, to myself. I wasn't doing everything I could. When it comes down to it, I literally was just not doing everything I could. So then I started searching for jobs, right? Just start looking for jobs and looking online. And if you even have a resume, or depending on when your last job was in the corporate world, if you're looking for that to put a resume together, you know, I look at resumes now and it's like, holy smokes, it sucks because you don't read the whole thing. There's no way. Like, you're just not worried about reading the whole resume. And I always am a fan of talking to the person. So there's a couple things that are red flags. Maybe put them aside, right? And try to be as picky as possible with that. But my heart's like, oh, maybe they're different. You know, I don't want to just judge off of paper. I want to give somebody a chance, because in sales, you'd be surprised at who does really, really well. It's people that don't necessarily sell. You know, they're serving people. But I hit a wall. Searching online, doing that whole thing, I couldn't find anything that got me excited, nothing that's worth the pay to me, worth the time, you know. And then really hitting a wall, just seeing people excited and making a bunch of money and just barely working, or spending a bunch of time with their kids, and my wife's pissed, constantly gone, and just not being the dad, the husband I need to be, not in a good spot. And then I started learning some online stuff, and I read the book called Dotcom Secrets. Everything changed. It was literally like a light bulb went off, and I started realizing online sales is not a matter of having to have the best product out there, or having to be the top influencer in the, you know, around. You don't even have to have your own product. In fact, most people make money online sharing affiliate products and links of products that we buy on our own. So they're just in the right place at the right time. And I found a common thing throughout all sales is everyone starts by serving others, the most successful reps, right? And that was my light bulb, is sales equals service. The more difficult the problem that we serve and that we solve, the more pay we get. Simple. Find someone to serve and somebody will need your services, right? If we don't have anybody to serve, that's kind of one of the tough parts. A lot of us are moving from a door-to-door or offline or mailers or door hangers and moving to online lead generation, which is scary. So I wanted to learn that. It was kind of my plan. Hey, let's learn the lead gen. Take all the knowledge, the dot-com secrets book. You guys have to grab that. Read that, start, you know, Expert Secrets, all those books. Awesome. Russell Brunson, shout out. Yeah, that stuff is awesome. But the plan was to take that knowledge from a lot of this and start implementing it into lead generation. Didn't necessarily want to sell a product, right? But just start getting leads and then talking to people, maybe doing some webinars, stuff like that. The problem that I had is I was trying to do everything myself. I wanted to learn everything. Right? I wanted it to work perfectly. And that was really the issue I had. And if I was going to release something, I want it to be perfect. Okay. It can't be that way. Right? Now, in the end, start learning how to work with people. And in times you have to delegate, and sometimes you have to suck it up and do the work. right? And a lot of time it is late nights, right? But I've found a way to make money online and handle business and, you know, with Zoom and different platforms. You know, now we're able to do that. And I'm able to stay home now with my kids, right? More now than ever before, at least. And, you know, we're looking at purchasing our first property and finally getting to achieve my goals and that I've set out years ago, you know, and we have our fifth kid on the way, getting ready to do our fourth home birth. So that'll be a podcast episode for sure, because we're doing a home birth. It's awesome. Totally best, way better than the hospital, in my opinion. And, you know, everybody has their own opinion. So hopefully don't get offended by that, obviously. But yeah, the home birth thing is awesome. And we've gotten a chance to really, you know, step into our dreams. And I think all this in the end meant that, you know, being a business owner or getting leads or accomplishing our goals, you know, aren't as glamorous as people make them out to be. So don't be afraid to share those, you know, dark moments or those struggles. And what I thought were my dreams coming true literally were just a catapult into God's plan for me. So all this means is I get more chances now than ever to be as great of a father as I could possibly be, and then teach my kids, you know, the importance of loving what you do and then never giving up on your dreams. And that vision, you know, will carry them on, and we get to live that out, and it's a huge blessing. So extremely blessed to be here and share this story with you guys, and even give you a background on, you know, where I've come from and a little bit about our life. And look forward to sharing more with you guys. There's plenty that I've learned in the sales industry. You know, I've done, started selling furniture, photography, actually. I think I was 21 years old or 22 years old, and ended up working with a photographer. It was a world-renowned photographer, and we did a lot of the shots. He did shots for Costco and Living Spaces and all of these different companies, and he did the photography. Well, I came in there and business was going down, so got a chance to get my first butt whooping in that industry, but ended up getting the Kathy Ireland account, which is really cool. Was young, didn't really know what I was doing, and just trying to provide value, and ended up just hammering away, and it came out. So did that, and done a lot of home improvement sales, and we started our own company with like a device warranty and protection stuff. Didn't go too well, but nonetheless, you know, you win or you learn. So keep pushing and live to fight another day. So did that, and now doing some solar and some energy in the energy arena and in that industry, and helping other sales reps accomplish their goals and you know, get to the same place. And I have plenty more to go, you know. I wanted to really create a place for us sales reps to come and hear from the ground floor. You know, guys that are still selling, not just running teams and, you know, telling us what happens in the sales spot 4 years ago or 2 years ago when they used to sell and when they used to be on the phone or knock doors. Let's get some sales reps in here, right? So love to hear your guys' feedback. Would love to hear from you guys. Please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with anybody. And we will see you guys soon. So our next guest is going to blow you away. I'll just say that. 97 years old, amazing story. I'll just put it that way. So hang on, guys, to be continued. Look forward to seeing you guys on episode 2 of Sales Rep Radio. Have a good one.